Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Church, good morning. It is so good to be with you. I'm going to try and tame down my Scouse accent for you all and put on my best Yorkshire because my family was from Doncaster and they all talk like that, you see. So I'm going to try preach like that today. It's always an honour actually and a privilege whenever I get to stand on this platform because the reality of it is I've actually been coming to this church for almost 20 years now. And actually, many of you won't necessarily realize this, but this church has been the most impactful church on not only my life, but also on the lives of our entire family. Back at home, I'm married to Emma and we lead the church together and we've got three boys, Joash, Isaac, and Solomon. And Solomon's here with me today. And honestly, like, you guys don't even realize the extent by which you have been pouring out into the lives of people up and down this nation for many, many years now. We have found some of our very best and most dearest friends in this house, and we're so incredibly grateful for every single one of you that just volunteer and serve and really pull it out the bag every single week to just build the local church. We've got so much love and respect for what you do, not only on a Sunday, but also throughout all of your conferences, Excel, Rock Nations, and previously Cherish. Man, we would bring coach loads of girls over to Cherish every year. And honestly, you don't realize the impact that you guys have had even on our church in Liverpool. So just on behalf of really Emma and myself and all of your Liverpool One Church family, I just want to say a huge thank you. If this is your local church where you're committed to just helping build week in, week out, you've got an incredible team here. You've got some fantastic leaders. So hey, Life Church, can we say thank you to all of the guys and girls that are making this thing happen every single week? We love you. We appreciate you. Okay, so I totally understand that we're in a vision series right now. We're in a vision month, but one of the things that I feel like is going to be in my wheelhouse and what I'm going to be able to bring and share with every single one of you today is not actually directly related to the taking up of an offering, which we all know we're going to be doing later on in this month. Because one of the things that I fully understand is that to have a healthy and to have a strong church, it needs contained within it healthy and strong followers of Jesus. So the bottom line for me today is I want to speak into your life. I want to speak into your life as the follower of Jesus. And I'm going to trust that if I help make you strong and if I'm able to encourage you on your spiritual trajectory of your life, I believe that that's going to outwork for the good in the format of whatever this church needs later on in the month. So let's just hone in and speak to your followership of Jesus today. And the reason why I want to do that is because in a church auditorium as large as this is, it is absolutely possible, I think, that whilst you may be in church today, the chances are really high that you're actually in here by the skin of your teeth. There are some of you that are in church today and nobody even knows what you're dealing with. Nobody knows the hidden, the secret battles. Nobody knows of what's going on in the marriage where to everybody else it seems amazing, but you know the whole thing is falling apart right now. For some of you, you know what it's like to deal with the pain and the pressure of you've got a loved one that is so sick you can't even comprehend what the future holds. For some of you, you are getting so used to dealing with the pressure and the stress and the anxiety of making money for the rent at the end of the month, it's almost becoming your normal state and it's not helpful and it's not healthy. I just understand, right, that in a church, we all come carrying our own individual elements of baggage. We've all got something going on. And the problem is this, when you've got something going on, if you're anything like me, if you've got something going on, then you feel spiritually weak. If you're anything like me, then at the times and seasons when you're wrestling with a thing or with a someone or the job's not materialized, the marriage isn't working out, when you're dealing with a something, your spiritual strength just seems and feels to run away from you. So I guess that my question today on this Father's Day is, how can you stay spiritually strong in times when you feel physically weak? Hey, you know what? I have been suffering with asthma since I was a kid. It's typically sport induced, but as a result of that, and as well as the pollen count doesn't help, the hay fever season doesn't help. But what it means is that I tend to carry with me an inhaler. I need the inhaler typically of a nighttime because actually it can become incredibly difficult to breathe. Now, I don't really want to go into too much detail, but I'm going to describe to you my bedroom very briefly. We have a bed, and on either side of our bed, Emma has got a bedside table and I have a bedside table. Both of the bedside tables are exactly the same. And on both of our bedside tables, we both have the exact same black lamp. The only difference between my bedside table and Emma's bedside table is that I, on my bedside table, I have a small blue Ventolin inhaler that I use when I'm struggling to breathe, that I use when I feel like my chest is so tight, I just can't get enough oxygen into my lungs. It's lived on our bedside table for probably the last 15 years. About 2 weeks ago, I'd gone to bed and I woke up and I needed my inhaler. And I'm just kind of like doing the typical thing that all the guys do. You bang around, you make a noise, and you're trying to find the thing on the bedside table, right? Trying not to knock over the lamp. And I realized that it wasn't there. So I kind of roll over and I say, Em, where's my inhaler? And she kind of wakes up and she's like, what? I'm like, where's my inhaler? I need my inhaler. I can't breathe. And Emma goes, oh, I put it in the drawer downstairs. I said, oh, you did? Really? I said, why did you do that? She said, I thought it looked a little unsightly. I'm like, unsightly? Emma, I promise you, honey, I give you my word, I'm not putting the inhaler on the side of our bed to try and enhance the aesthetic appearance of our bedroom. I'm putting it there because it keeps me alive, okay? It helps me to breathe. And she was just like, yeah, it didn't really go. It was a little unsightly. And I was like, are you for real? But is that not the struggle of every man here? Like, our wives love to tidy up after us. And if you're anything like me, I can't find anything. But the truth is, you don't need to have asthma to know what it feels like to not be able to catch your breath. You don't need to have asthma to know what it feels like to sometimes, because of just stress and anxiety and the tensions and the struggles of life, to feel like you just can't breathe freely. And the reality of it is that we've got to figure this out together. Because when you feel like you can't get enough oxygen into your spiritual lungs, you're going to start to feel spiritually weak. So is there a way for us to, as followers of Jesus, stay spiritually strong even during the times that we feel spiritually weak? And I want to talk to you today by introducing to you a spiritual quality that you need in your life. You absolutely need this spiritual quality to be on the outskirts of your life so much, because this has the greatest potential to increase your spiritual ministry impact. It has the greatest potential to improve your relational life. It has the greatest potential to increase and improve your financial life. I mean, this thing can even affect your physical health. And yet, I want to speak to you about a spiritual quality that you don't need any particular background in order to be able to obtain it. I want to talk to you about a spiritual quality that you don't need any particular level of education in order to be able to obtain it. But I want to speak to you about a spiritual quality that if you're going to stay spiritually strong, even in times when you feel spiritually weak, you're not going to make it unless you employ this spiritual quality into your life. And the quality that I want to speak to you about today is the quality of being consistent, determined and consistent. to be consistent to the extent that you're willing to stay in the game and see things through even when you feel like quitting. To be consistent when you're willing to go round the corner rather than stopping short of the corner because you're fearful of what might be around the corner. Consistency. It has the more potential impact to change your life and also mine than any other thing. And yet I know that some of you already, you're checking out. You're possibly even doing the very thing that I'm tempted to do when I talk to myself about these subjects. You hear the word consistency, and now you start to think about, well, hang on a minute. I never finish anything. Like, I'm great at starting stuff. I start DIY projects at home. I start stuff all of the time, but I never see anything through. And now you're kind of starting to feel a little bit awkward because you're thinking, the only thing I've ever been consistent in is I've been consistently inconsistent. So therefore, this message is not going to speak to me at all. Hey, listen, just hang fire with me because I promise you, we're going to get there in the end. Because even if at times you feel like the only thing you're consistent in is being inconsistent, I want to encourage you because I'm a little bit strange like this. I find comfort when I find out the faults of even some of our heroes in the faith. Because actually what you find is that there was the Apostle Paul who spoke about this issue, and he struggled with this idea too. He, in fact, struggled with being determined and being consistent in the same way that some of us struggle with being consistent. In fact, he struggled about it so much that in Romans 7, he writes this. He goes, I don't really understand myself. Now, if that was a scripture that described my life sometimes, that would be it right there. I don't even understand myself. And then he goes on. He says, for what I want to do is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Other translations put it like this. I can see it in my mind's eye about what I want to do, but I don't do that. I end up doing the thing that I don't even want to do. He, at times, struggled with consistency. And if he struggled with consistency, how much more so are the chances high that we might struggle with it as well? So before we jump into the Bible text, let's just bow our heads and pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I ask today that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open up every single one of our hearts and you would truly give us all ears that can hear your voice. So that today when we leave church, we're going to leave walking out, knowing, feeling, and sensing like we have just heard from you. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. One of the reasons why I want to speak to you about consistency today is because I understand that the decisions that we make as a follower of Jesus, they're incredibly important. And in fact, it's the decisions that we make that really determine the direction and the trajectory of our lives. I mean, and this is proven because if you were to spend a moment and look back at the decisions that you made a few months ago or a few years ago, you can see that you're now living in the response or the consequence of those decisions that you've previously made. Because you make decisions and decisions make you. It's the same for us all. So today, what I want to try and help us all to do as just a church family, as a local church, is to pre-decide how we can remain consistent, perhaps even if it's during a time or a season right now for you, where you don't feel the pressure or the need to be consistent. So in other words, we get to pre-decide how we're going to be in life because the storms are going to come. I loved what Tim just shared. It is the blessing and the battle, oftentimes the same thing at the same time. So how are we going to decide how we're going to follow Jesus in the times when it feels like we're up against it and we're in a battle? So today we're going to talk about how do we pre-decide that? What decisions can we make today that might help us remain more consistent in our future? Why does being consistent even matter? Well, I think for me, one of the things that I notice is the same thing that you're aware of. Successful people are oftentimes consistent in things that everybody else is not consistent in. In fact, if you look at successful people, the difference between them and not successful people are that successful people will often do the same thing over and over and over again. That's the difference. Think about it in the terms of, does anybody go to the gym? And there's that one guy there and he is just ripped as. I mean, he's got biceps so big, he can't even wear a t-shirt. I mean, he's got the six pack, he's got the pecs just like flexing out. And you wonder, how do you even make your pecs flex like that? How do you even do that? And the difference between that guy and the guy that has zero muscle is just consistency. One kept on turning up and doing the same thing day in, day out, creating good habits. You know the difference between a black belt and a white belt in taekwondo or judo or karate? The reality of it is this. The only difference is that a black belt is just a white belt that's been consistent over the years and over time. One of the reasons why I love this church is, man, I think that your music team are just ace. I think that your worship is just incredible, and it doesn't really matter who's leading. You can turn up on a Sunday, you can turn up for a conference, and it just pops. It's just incredible. Well, let me tell you, that doesn't happen by mistake. It doesn't happen by chance. I mean, I don't know exactly, but if I were a betting man, I would suspect that these guys are in here for hours on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, just churning out chord charts, just working on transitions, just figuring out keys. Why? Because successful people know what it needs in order to be successful. And oftentimes, it's being consistent in the small things. But in scripture, why does consistency even matter? In a moment, we're going to go to some text and we're going to look at the life of Daniel, who's found in the Old Testament. Now, Daniel was one of the most consistent and faithful and loyal people throughout all of scripture. In fact, his story is introduced to us about 605 years BC, and 18 years after which the Babylonians, who had overcome the entire Jewish nation in battle, what they did, and it was kind of like a double-edged sword, it was pretty naughty what the Babylonians did, was that they took and captured all of these 12 and 13-year-old boys, especially if they were smart and intelligent. And their thinking was, not only will we show Israel our might and our power by destroying them in battle, but what we're also going to do is we're going to take the smartest and the most educated kids and we're going to indoctrinate them in the ways of all things Babylonian. We're going to make them and raise them up to be the next future leaders of Babylon. We're going to instill all of this within them. Now, Daniel was a character that stood out. He stood out actually for years on numerous occasions amongst different kingships and different regimes. But when it came to King Darius, Daniel really stood out. I mean, King Darius, he noticed something about Daniel. He just noticed that Daniel displayed an unusual level of commitment to consistency, which is funny, really, because if you want to be a leader in any form of life, whether it's in church or even the business place, one of the best things that you can work on is just being consistent. Because I promise you, it's really easy to be great once. It's hard to be good over a long period of time. And this is what Darius noticed with Daniel. He was just like, there's something about this kid. He is so successful and he's so consistent and he really does take care of the small things that Darius wanted to promote Daniel. Now, what's this going to do? This is going to cause huge problems for Daniel. Why? Well, because all of the other Babylonian men, they will have been infuriated by this decision. Because to them, Daniel was a threat. To them, Daniel was the guy that's going to take away their jobs. Daniel's going to be a leader, and he wasn't even born a Babylonian male. He's an Israelite. So now they start to find all of this opposition is being packaged up towards Daniel. So what do? They try and get him cancelled. They go like scurrying about the behind the scenes areas of his life. They try and pick up all the dirt that they can find about Daniel. Like they scroll through his Twitter feed from years ago that isn't even active now because they're just like, has he ever done anything naughty? Can we dig up any dirt on this kid? They even went and spoke to his old girlfriend and his old school bus driver. Like, did he ever get in trouble? Like, what was he like when he was 14? They really went on a witch hunt to try and find out, like, can we dig up some dirt on this boy? Can we really find out whether he really is as good as King Darius thinks he is? And the story tells us what happens in Daniel 6, verse 4. It says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Hey, if you want a leadership side note right there, if you want to know how to be a great leader in the house of God or the business place, the marketplace, just do what Daniel did. Be faithful, responsible, and trustworthy. And I promise you, that will be magnetic towards whoever is above you. So what happened was they were unable to dig up any dirt on Daniel, but these boys, they were smart. They knew how to sweet talk the king. So they approached King Darius and they put it to him like this. King, we think that you are so epic. We want there to be a period of time, 30 days, where nobody is allowed to pray to anybody else. But instead, they only are allowed to pray to you. And of course, King Darius, he's a bit of an egotistical guy. He's like, absolutely, this is a great plan. Let's have everybody bow down and worship me. And if anybody breaches this decree that was going to be implemented, then we're going to throw them into a lion's den. In other words, death was going to come their way. So now, with Daniel, who'd proven himself historically to be consistent, he's now issued with this decree. If you pray to your God and not to King Darius, you're going to face death by being thrown into the lion's den. So what do we think Daniel did? Well, scripture tells us in Daniel 6, verse 10. It tells us, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room with its window open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. What did Daniel do? He remained determined and he remained consistent even when life's challenges came towards him. What did Daniel do? He refused to bow down and he was committed to doing the same thing that he'd always been so faithful in doing, which was every day, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to pray with my window open towards Jerusalem, and I'm going to put God first. Now, this, of course, angered every one of these Babylonian boys that were trying to set him up. So what did they do? Of course, they went and told King Darius, right? And now everybody's livid. In fact, Darius is probably even somewhat saddened to hear the news because he had invested so much into Daniel. But because a decree had been passed, it meant that Daniel had to now be thrown into the lion's den. Because Daniel had chosen to be consistent, it meant that he was now going to face imminent death. So what happened? Well, the story tells us in Daniel 6, 23. It tells us that when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted God. So what we learn from this very brief story about Daniel is that when they threw him into the lion's den by some kind of magical, miraculous, supernatural means, an angel was sent to close the mouth of the lion, and now the lion didn't end up eating or destroying or tearing Daniel apart in the way that everybody expected him to. And what happened is we find the reason why that happened was because Daniel trusted in God. What did Daniel do when the challenges of life came his way and he was tempted to stop doing the very thing that had brought him success up to this point? He chose to get down on his knees in his usual place in an upstairs room and he prayed 3 times. But my question is this: when was Daniel's consistent faith really built? Because it wasn't built in the lion's den. I think that Daniel's consistent, determined faith, that Daniel's trust in God was actually built every single day when he was on his knees praying to God. That's where he learned how to be successful, stay spiritually strong, and remain consistent. So my question is this: how do we grow in our consistency? How do you grow in your consistency as a father, as a wife, as a business guy? What are the things that you need to do? Well, I think we just do what Daniel did. Daniel did 3 things. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing too. If you want to grow in your consistency, especially in your relationship with God, then you should start with the why. don't plan to be perfect and fall in love with the journey. You should start with the why. Don't plan to be perfect and fall in love with the journey. Start with why. Why did Daniel pray three times a day? Why was Daniel able to be so consistent? Because when Daniel prayed, he didn't pray in the same way that the Pharisees would pray. And we know that in the New Testament, it recounts how the way in which the Pharisees would pray and be communicative to God was actually, it was almost repulsive to Jesus, because they would do it on a street corner in such a way that would be so loud, they made their prayer life all about them. And yet what we find Daniel doing is actually saying, no, you don't understand. I'm going to make myself small in the presence of a big almighty God in a place that nobody else can see, because I am devoted to God. Why are you going to pray, Daniel? Because I am devoted to God. It's almost like, if you want to know the real reason why most New Year's resolutions don't ever work, it's because there is a lack of devotion. How do we know that? Well, if you were so devoted to the thing that you were going to change at New Year, you'd have done it in July. Like, you'd have done it way earlier. So if you leave to change something in your life to New Year, chances are you're never going to be as devoted to it as you're going to need to be to it in order to see any kind of effective change. You need to have a compelling why. That's why, if you've ever struggled with consistency when it comes to getting a grip of your weight, you need to have a compelling why. Like, if you don't have a reason why you want to lose the weight, you're going to find it way too tempting to jump back to the chocolate shreddies with the chocolate milk, with the chocolate spread all over the top of it. Like, you're going to go there. But if you have a picture, a compelling why for your life about how this isn't the person that I want to be, I want to look after my physical being, I want to take care of my weight, it's so much easier to become determined to it. Let me put it like this. If a doctor tells you you've got to lose weight, and if you don't, you're going to die, chances are you're going to find it easier to lose some weight than if you just wait until New Year. Well, Daniel understood that you needed a compelling why. Why do I pray? Because I know that he is the one that holds my life in the palm of his hands, and everything that is good comes from him, and I am devoted to him. I'm not just going to follow him on a Sunday through my attendance at church, but I'm going to follow him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all of my mind. What kind of a why do you need to start with? It's almost like a lot of people get so frustrated when they lack in consistency in their relationship with God. A lot of people feel like, man, I try to pray once or twice a day. I try to create a devotional life. But the reality of it is that until you understand the compelling reason why, that you were created by God, for God, if you're just doing it because you're trying to please someone or trying to get a tick in the box in the Bible reading app or whatever it might be, you're never going to achieve it, because you've got to have a devotion. You've got to have a place in your heart that says, this is the reason why I'm going to be doing this. Like Daniel, he was saying, I'm committed to the why because I know of the one to whom that I'm praying. The second thing, you've got to plan to not be perfect. Don't plan to be perfect. If you want to be consistent, we could even put it like this. You should plan to fail. We know certain pieces of information about Daniel's life, but we don't know everything. We do know that he was committed to praying to God three times a day, but we don't know whether or not he prayed every single day. And the reason why I'm questioning that is because if he was a real person, like you're a real person, I just wonder, were there days when he was in the office and King Darius just shouted across the room of the courts and said, hey, Daniel, Tony's gone sick. You're going to have to do the late shift tonight. Like, there's no way you're going to make it home. So chances are that even though he was committed to praying three times a day, I'm just saying, I bet that there was at least one day where maybe he missed a round of prayers. Maybe there was one day where he was not able to do it. And yet, you know what we do? The moment that we miss a day, we go, oh, there's no point in this. There's no point in me staying on the diet now. I've gone back to eating the junk food. Oh, there's no point at all in me trying to keep going to the gym. I've not been for a week. I'll have lost all of my muscle definition anyway. Hey, there's no point in me trying to get myself on a financial plan because I've embraced some more debt this month. Hey, listen, all I'm asking you to do is that we would do what Daniel did. Don't plan to be perfect. Being determined And being consistent isn't the same as being perfect. Give yourself a little bit of grace to fail. And if you miss a day, just don't miss two. If you miss a day in your devotional life with Christ, just don't miss two. If you miss a week of church, just don't miss two. If you miss a comp, like don't miss the next thing. Just understand that life is fluid and you've got to plan to fail. And the third thing you've got to do is fall in love with the journey. You see, you're not successful when you achieve the goal. You're successful on the day that you start. Imagine it like this. Have you ever looked at anybody else's life and just thought, man, they're just such a spiritual man. They're so hungry for God. They're such a powerhouse in the faith. I want to be like them. And then what do? We start and we get on our knees and we pray one day. But then what happens is the journey takes us on another route. And we then think that success comes when we're 30 years old and now being the man of faith that we look up to. When actually success happens the first day that you choose to get on your knees and pray. Success happens on the day that you start to curb the weight. Success happens when you start to get a grip of your diet. Success happens, think about it like this. Have you ever struggled financially and you've been in a debt or a place of debt? Maybe you've wrestled with a credit card and you've got a balance on there of £8,000. You can look at stuff like that sometimes and think and feel, this is so overwhelming. I'm only gonna be successful when I get myself out of debt. And that often becomes the reason why you don't stay at it, because you see success as being years ahead in the future. And yet what success really is when you look at that balance of £8,000 and you work out that you can spend £200 a month servicing that debt. And every single month that you choose to get on a budget, that's the day that you become successful. Because you've got to fall in love with the journey. You've got to fall in love with the journey of trying to lose the weight. You've got to fall in love with the journey of trying to become physically strong. You've got to fall in love with the journey of becoming spiritually healthy and getting on your knees and praying out to God. Because I do think that there is something that Daniel did on his journey that I think that we see takes place between the decree that was given and the den that he found himself in, where he was saved and rescued from this lion. I was in the police for like 11 years before we ever started a church. And there was a couple of occasions when things would just be really quiet and I would take my kids, crazy. I would take my kids into the custody suite where we would lock people up if there was nobody in, which wasn't very often, but sometimes I would sneak them in and I would just show them around and let them see what was going on. One of the guys that I worked with, Brian, one time, when Solomon was about 3 years of age, he wasn't even at school yet. We go into this custody suite and he's like running round, going crazy, like everything that I'm sure would never be allowed to happen today. Well, we were doing it all back then. And he's like in the cells and out of the cells. And the cells in the police station, they're like the solid concrete walls and they've got great big, thick, heavy duty steel. They're probably about 10 inches thick. Well, my friend Brian, who I'd worked with for years, he grabbed hold of Solomon and he grabbed him by the shoulder and he marched him and he threw him inside this police cell. And Solomon at first thought it was a little bit funny and he closed the door on him and he dropped the hatch. And Brian shouts out to him and says, "Hey, what are you gonna do now? You're locked up." And this three-year-old Solomon, who went incredibly quiet, thought about it for a moment before he just looks up and he says to Brian through the hatch, "My dad will get me out of here." But isn't that a picture of what our relationship with God needs to be like? Isn't that the father that Daniel knew he was serving and praying to every day? He was the father that was gonna get him out. And even if he didn't, he wasn't gonna stop being consistent in doing what was most important. So my question is almost, what was it that Daniel did between the decree and the den? What was it that Daniel did during the gap? Because you know what this is like. There can be times and seasons in your life when you're expecting something from God, but you're experiencing something that looks like it's a million miles away from anything good. So what do you do in the gap? What do you do in the space in between? What did Daniel do in the space in between? Because the story tells us that Daniel, he would get down on his knees, and we don't know what Daniel prayed because the scripture doesn't tell us that. We don't know exactly how often he would pray the same prayer over and over again because the scripture doesn't tell us that. But it does tell us that he would get down on his knees. And remember, Daniel was a Hebrew boy. Daniel was an Israeli boy. And Daniel will have been known and told about people like King David, who he was in the bloodline of. And he would have been able to recount scriptures that David had wrote in Psalm 34, where David said, when he was running away from Saul, when his life was in a hard place, he was able to say about what David said, that when David's world was falling apart, I sought the Lord and he heard and he delivered me from all of my fears. And notice, he didn't deliver him from the very thing that he was fearing. He delivered him from the fear of the thing that he was fearing. So Daniel is now on his knees. And I think that Daniel started to do the same thing that you and I need to do. If we're going to be consistent, we need to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves and find faith for our future by looking at how God has been faithful in our past. If you want to be consistent in your Jesus life, if you want to be consistent in your spiritual life, then look at what God has done for you yesterday. Because is he not the same God yesterday, today, and forever? And if he's been faithful once before, then he's going to be faithful once again. If he was faithful for a distant David, then he'll be faithful for a Daniel. If he was faithful in the den, then he'll be faithful in your life today. If he was faithful when Daniel was thrown in the den of a lion and he had to contest fire and burning, will he not be faithful for you today? If David was the one that had to run from Saul in fear of his life, will he not save you and your family and your situation and your finance and your business? Is that not the same God that we serve today, Life Church? And it all happens when we just choose to be consistent. Now let me pray for you. My time is done. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, you're a good God that knows every single one of us. You know of the things that we're battling with. You know of what we're struggling with. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you give us the confidence to sense and to know that you're with us, that you're here, that you're amongst us? Would you, Holy Spirit, and I don't know what anyone needs to be consistent with today, but would you, Holy Spirit, would you help us remain consistent in the areas of challenge that exist today in our lives? For the wife that wants to walk out on the husband, would you help her just go back and love him again? For the dad that wants to walk out on his kids, would you help him to be consistent and stay in the game? For the business guy that is just done and sick of the challenges, would you help him be consistent and stay in the game? For the parents that are dealing with the loss of a loved one, would you help them to be consistent and stay in the game? And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. But with every head still bowed and every eye still closed, in a moment we're gonna sing. Can you stand to your feet if you're not already? I'm gonna say one real quick short prayer today, and it's a prayer really that is a marking of the moment between you in your relationship with God. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, and yet you might not even be able to understand and give verbiage and explanation to everything that you've heard and experienced today, but there is something knocking on the window of your heart, and you're like, yeah, I want in on this. In a moment, I'm gonna say a prayer, and I'm gonna ask that you would respond by saying this prayer in your heart with me. Or maybe if you've been the guy that's been running away from church, you have been consistently inconsistent with church and with God, and yet today, you feel as though he's tapping on the window of your heart, then I'm gonna pray a prayer right now. And if you want to invite Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life, yes, you get heaven, and how amazing is that? But what you actually get is a real and authentic relationship with the King of Kings, the one that holds your world in the palm of his hands. If that's you right now, whilst every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm gonna say a prayer right now. And if that's you, just respond by praying this prayer after me. Father in heaven, today I come to you because I want to know who you are. I'm asking that you would live in my heart. Become the Lord of my life. I'm sorry for the things that I've done and all the sin of my past. Make me clean again today as I trust in you and believe that you're real. And believe that your life was given for me so that I could know you today. Now, with every head still bowed and every eye still closed, if that's you that's prayed that prayer in church today, can you just do me the honor, whether you're on the ground floor or up in the balcony, can you just raise your hand so that I can see it? Down here, amazing. At the back as well, in the middle, another one in the middle, amazing, brilliant. Anybody else over here too? Anybody on the back, on the balcony, on the mezz? Amazing. Hey, Life Church, let me tell you this. The scriptures tell us that when even one person makes a decision to follow Jesus, that all heaven breaks loose in a praise party. Can we just make a big loud shout of noise for all of these people that have made a decision to follow Jesus and come home today?
Heard the children, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same. You were providing then, you were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same. You moved in power then.
You moved in power then.
God moved in power now. You are the same.
You are the same God.
You are a healer then.
You are a healer.
And you are a healer now.
You
give God a round of applause. Thank you so much, Luke. Give Luke a round of applause. That was beautiful, mate. Thank you. Just whilst, if you put your hand up for salvation,
There is a corner down here. Emma's there. Give us a wave, Emma. If you want to know some more, just pop down there and ask any questions that you have, or pop to reception. We really want to welcome you into the family. You made an amazing decision. Just whilst Luke was speaking, I felt that there today, of all days, it's Father's Day, right? I feel there's some fathers in here that think they've done a terrible job. And that might actually be true. But God says in His Word that He will restore the years that the locust has eaten. So today, that's for you. If you feel like, oh, actually, I haven't done that good of a job. I really feel like, oh, I messed that up. Can we just pray for you before we do anything else? Is that all right? God, I thank you that you're here. And I thank you that you're gracious. You're merciful. And God, we just pray that inside of these men today, that your Holy Spirit will lift them up. They will stand up inside themselves and say, from today, I'll do the best that I can. We pray against any apathy. We pray against any cynicism. We pray against any disappointment. God, I thank you that you are the most perfect and beautiful Father. So the way that we see fatherhood modeled through you, we don't have to have had a father of our own. God, lead us and guide us. Make us great fathers in your house. We pray all that in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.